Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
Yeah, and today on the podcast, rounding out actually good movie month.
Yes.
Wizard of Oz.
Hot damn.
Hot damn.
Which is a great movie.
Yeah, it holds up pretty well. For something 1939, this movie came
out. Yeah, that's amazing.
This is by far the oldest movie that we've ever done.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Craig. Never saw this movie before.
What?
Yes,
this is a first viewing of The Wizard of Oz.
Hang on.
Are we talking?
Diana's freaking out in the corner right now. She's not having
that
it.
That third one.
She's having a meltdown.
Neighbors are popping in being like, what? Are we talking like so never seen any portion of this? Like never like even seen like,
no, like I
a
understand.
Scene or two on TV growing up?
I understand the references. I've heard the song. You know what I mean? I know we're off to see the wizard. I had heard that before. At no point had my peepers ever watched this whole thing.
Holy cow.
I've got opinions.
This is literally the freshest eyes.
Oh yeah, you can't.
This is
get fresher than me. This is, I might have some opinions that other people disagree with. Because again, I don't have the nostalgia blanket on this thing. Okay, like this is.
There are 70-year-olds with nostalgia blankets on.
Diana's still so upset. Every time I look at her, she's just shaking her head. She's very upset.
This movie is nearly 80 years old.
Oh my God, it is. Yeah. Oh, dude.
Wow.
I didn't know this. I have no concept of this movie at all, really. So watching it, I literally had to find out if Judy Garland was singing those songs.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, but hot damn. She's 16 when they're filming this. I was like, that woman sounds 57. Every time she sings, she sounds so much older than she is. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That voice is insane.
Well, this is also like a movie that was made in like the golden age of Hollywood, where anybody who was a movie star, it wasn't because they were some social media influencer or had a lot of followers on Instagram. These were legit triple threats. Every single person in this movie is a singer. Every single person in this movie is a dancer. Every single person in this movie is an actor.
Yeah, phenomenally talented.
Yeah, absolutely.
Phenomenally talented. This movie's great. It is great. And It's crazy because you say it was made 80 years ago, but you can still super appreciate the amount of effort that goes into every shot, the costumes, the pageantry. Like this is it's a great movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the plot line.
We're going to go. So obviously.
Ooh, hot dog.
Obviously, the villain of The Wizard of Oz. Do we even need to say it? The Wicked Witch of the West, everybody.
It's in her name.
One of the most iconic movie villains ever.
Yes.
Hands down. I would say, I know they've actually done this list, American Film Institute, but I would say her and Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I mean, are pretty closely. And
no doubt.
And I would even put up that she is the symbol of movie villains.
Well, she is.
She's the prototypical movie villain. She is.
Which is hilarious because watching this, I was like, this woman's so easy to argue. It's insane.
Well, and yeah. So
it's insane how easy it is to argue this woman.
And just a little caveat here. Obviously, they have argued this before. There is an entire book and musical based on the fact that the Wicked Witch is right.
Did you not know this? No, I knew. I know. Listen. I know there's a musical called Wicked.
Right.
Okay. Like I'm aware of it as a thing out there, but I didn't understand. Like I didn't know that it was.
So there's
the telling of her point of view.
Right. So there is a book that was done called Wicked. And it was Confession. No. The sequel was Confessions of an Evil Stepsister. But Wicked is a book all about how the Wicked Witch of the West, whose real name is Elphaba, is. Right.
She's absolutely right.
Yeah. And they turn that into a stage musical, which is fantastic. I know you're not a huge fan of musicals, but there's a song in Wicked where it's, what is this feeling? So sudden, so new. I knew at the moment I laid eyes on you. What is this feeling? Loathing.
Yes.
Yeah, loathing, unadulterated loathing. Oh. And it's like they do a whole song and dance number about how they hate each other. It's fantastic.
I honestly, watching this movie, certain parts, I'm like, I'm shook, y'all. Like, I can't believe.
So, Fresh Eyes, what are those moments for you?
Fresh Eyes, there's so many. Number one, there's no way that dude is a professor.
the man, the traveling man in the van. Yeah, no, of course
who,
not.
Who gave him that name?
He did.
Why? I was like, I wouldn't take advice. That guy's a bad man.
He's
a bad man.
Yeah, the real world version of the wizard.
Yes. Yeah, he's a terrible man. Hey, little girl, go out in that storm. I've got a whole shack here. You could probably hang out for a bit, but if you wouldn't mind to get to steppin'.
In his defense, he was telling her, don't run away from home. Go back to the family that loves
you. Yeah, but tried to convince her that through like saying that his aunt is like devastated.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they don't even realize she's left yet.
Yeah. She could be sick. She's holding her heart. She's sick. That's not... Is this the way we should be teaching this lesson?
Maybe not.
I mean, it works. Yeah. But
except that a tornado comes, which 1939, you cannot predict.
That is true. But it was definitely too blustery to send out a young woman.
Well, I mean, he's not going to... What is he going to do? Invite her into his wagon?
Well,
no.
Well, he did. She was already in there. I guess it's... It's already creepy.
Yeah.
You might as well be creepy and safe and not creepy and unsafe.
That's true.
Come on.
But and you're talking about this all happening in that the introductory black and white section. And by the way, this is still a super effective technique where reality is black and white and then she ends up in Oz and all of a sudden everything is in color.
Absolutely.
I cannot imagine being an audience member when this movie came out and being like going to see that and it just blowing your goddamn mind. You know what I mean? Like you would sit there.
Well, it's still, to this day is still visually stunning to watch.
The colors.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
the colors, the costume, everything. It's so vibrant and such a distinct world to be dropped into that you immediately buy into and believe.
Exactly. And that's the thing is like, somebody probably went to go see this movie being like, yeah, it's in color. And you go, interesting. I've seen colors before. I live in the real world.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's every color. It is every color and it is so bright. Somebody wept in the movie theater when she opens that door and walks into Oz. The yellows, the reds, the blues, like they're all...
It's kind of like putting on glasses for the first time.
Exactly.
The first time I put on glasses, I was like, oh, is this what it's supposed to be? I didn't realize this has been getting worse over time. At no point did I realize.
Yeah, my sister gave me shit for that for a long time because my older sister is perfect. She has no glasses to this day.
Yeah.
Never had to have braces or anything. Mm. And I went to go get glasses and I was like, oh my God, I can see like the details in the leaves of the trees across the street.
Yeah.
This is great. And she goes, what do you mean? How did you not know that you were going to need glasses? I was like,
because it just slowly gets, it's like when you gain weight, it's like for the first little bit, you don't notice. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is it's gone a bit out of control. I didn't realize.
Yeah. She's like, well, obviously you can see the details in the leaves across the street. I was like, well, no, because like there's details at certain distances that you always can't see.
Yeah.
Right. Like you can get far enough from a tree where you don't see the details
Absolutely.
Of a leaf. And I just assumed that distance was across the street for everybody.
Yeah, when I take my glasses off, everything just turns into a painting. It's fine.
Yeah.
I can still see it. I know it's a tree. It just looks a little more artistic to me.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I imagine somebody's mind being absolutely fucking blown by this movie when it came out.
Oh yeah, you got to. Honestly, I'm still reeling from Judy Garland's voice. What a set of pipes, man. Every song she said, I'm like, and I don't normally like that shit, to be honest with you. And I felt immediately transported into a different time.
Yeah.
Like I could, it's like I could hear the microphone she was singing it on. You know what I mean? There's just that old, there's that little bit of, there's a tone to old microphones that give voices a certain quality to it. She also has that old style voice, which in turn.
It's, yeah, they're probably singing for the microphones that they had at the
time,
which was like a skill.
So I really like it when it hits the air. It's really nice. Yeah. I also wrote down... so let's... Why don't we talk about the witch in the real world?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the neighbor.
Yeah, Miss Gulch.
Miss Gulch, okay. This... And I think somebody, or one of the... Who turns out to be one of the... I can't remember which one's the scarecrow. That.
Oh, no, nobody knows.
But... And he says this very... He's like, why don't you just take a different way home?
Yeah.
This woman is threatening your dog.
So, yes.
So essentially, yeah, what's happened here is she walks by this woman's house every day. This dog terrorizes her and her cat. This woman's like... I'm going to kill this dog. Like I'm taking this dog down.
It has bit me.
It is, yeah. And that is the most important part of this story is that it has physically attacked me and bit me.
Right.
Which in today's terms would mean that dog's out of here. Gone.
And that's exactly what she does. She shows up and she goes, there are laws in this state about allowing dogs that bite to attack people. She's like, I've got to go take this thing and be destroyed.
Yes. And this is something that's happened time and time again. Dorothy knows it. And at no point does she try and bring up any sort of solution.
Like a leash.
Yes. Like a leash, or I promise I won't bring him by anymore or whatever. She just says, no, 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 no. You're an evil, wicked witch.
Yes. Super unfair.
Which is a really nice thing to be called, guys. Like, right. Like, Jesus Christ. This woman, yeah. Like, this woman just wants to be on her property and not be disturbed.
Attacked by dogs.
Yeah, like, I don't think that makes her a bad person.
No.
Although I wrote down, and I know I feel like I've mentioned John Wick like 30 times on this podcast, but I was like, I feel like the John Wick pitch was just like, okay, what if Miss Gulch actually got a hold of the dog?
What is going to happen?
And then we're going to write that movie instead.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think getting bit by a dog and then not wanting that dog around isn't right. I don't think you should kill the dog, but that's just my opinion. But
yeah.
I can understand the thread of logic here, at least.
And she does the decency of going to the parents, or aunt and uncle in this case, but her guardians, and being like, hey, let's have a civilized discussion about this because your niece is terrorizing me with a dog that has bit me. And we need to deal with this. And her aunt and uncle get upset with her too.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I was going to tell you what I thought about you, but as a Christian woman, I can't.
Yeah.
Which is like, just say the word.
Get control of your dog.
Yeah.
Also this idea of like, she shows up and I do like the concept of like, okay, you got to grow up a little bit and appreciate what's around you.
Yeah.
But like all these people are trying to work off the top of this movie. She doesn't care. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they tell her, like, six times. They're like, listen, we got shit to do, son.
She falls in the pig pen.
She's, like, making a ruckus. It's not even that she's helping. She's also, like, impeding their work.
Yeah, because her aunt and uncle at the beginning are like, the incubator has broken.
Yes.
All these chickens are going to die.
Yeah.
We need to get them out. Now,
like, you're worried about your dog. I'm worried about one life. I'm worried about like 100 over here.
Yeah,
like,
it's bad news.
You gotta let me go, man. But the first, and I think I can't remember where I saw this. This was like an internet thing for a while where somebody had written down the plot line to The Wizard of Oz, like very succinctly, where they were this woman, like the first thing she does is kill.
Woman arrives in town,
kills the first person she sees.
And recruits friends
to kill again.
Yeah.
Like that's what this movie
that's
is.
That's what it is.
She shows up. Now, this is the argument I would like to make. The main argument I would like to make is that Glenda is unequivocally the worst witch in this movie. Mm-hmm. She's a horrible, horrible person. And I hate her so much.
Okay.
And here's why. Okay. Dorothy doesn't want to take the shoes.
No.
Glenda puts them on her. She then antagonizes the sister, whose sister just died, by the way.
Yes.
And I think is a very important point.
Had a
house dropped on her. Her sister just died. Her only sister. Okay. Yep. Her only sister just died. You killed her. Okay. And the first thing you did was loot her body?
Come on.
You took her shoes. And Glenda, not only does she take the shoes and put them on Dorothy, she tells the witch to go get them first. She goes, oh, you forgot her shoes over there. Waits till she gets close to them and then puts them on Dorothy.
Yeah.
Oh, you a real bitch out here. Like, yeah. Glinda is manipulative, okay? Because that's a manipulative move. And then, not only does she... Dorothy barely says anything in this scene. I don't know if you notice this. She barely says anything. She's like, I didn't mean to. Like, she's trying to get things out. And Glinda's actually, like, ramping the other witch up.
Yeah.
She's ramping West Girl up. She's like, no, like, you can't have these. I put them, you know what I mean? Like, they can't be removed from her now. Like, these are the only things your sister had left and have taken them from you.
And yeah, she's like, don't give it to him. If she wants them, that means that it's something powerful.
Exactly. Something like, she's trying to manipulate Dorothy into a world that she just arrived in.
Yeah. And I'm going to argue this is, I don't blame Dorothy. I don't think Dorothy's bad. I think Dorothy, in anything, is a pawn in some game that she is not aware of.
That's my point.
Because let's go but to the end of the movie. So the Wizard of Oz, the titular Wizard of Oz, is a fraud.
Yes.
That is undeniable, right? Yep. He is a man from Kansas who got lost in a balloon. And he's ruling with fear and intimidation.
Yes.
By creating tricks, right? And ruling arguably with an iron fist.
Yes.
Except that... And this is a man who is able to con his way into being elected or selected as their leader in a world where real magic exists.
Yeah.
The Witch of the North, Glinda, is able to produce magic. She's able to do pretty much, she floats around in a bubble and creates snow and all the rest. There is something fundamentally wrong. He's a tyrant, and there is something wrong where the people who are opposing that are declared evil.
Well, yes, they literally say, because she talks about how, like, Glinda's a witch, right? And she's like, oh, I've never seen a beautiful witch before. And she's like, that's how you know that I'm good.
Only.
And it's this concept again of, like, ugly is evil and bad, and pretty is good and pure.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's such, but she's the one, the pretty one is the one that says that.
Yes.
So off the hop, you got to immediately go, okay, this bitch doesn't, no.
Well, and also immediately off the hop, she has magic and is able to transport various places, but instead of taking this poor girl who is lost to the Emerald City, she goes, take this long route, dangerous route, where you're going to encounter this witch many, many, many times.
Yes.
I don't think she ever wants her to get to the Emerald City.
No, I think she does. I think, okay, listen to what's happened here, okay, because I have a theory.
Love it.
Okay. Glinda starts out this movie, okay, like before we get into this world or whatever, Glinda starts out and it's her and three other witches, okay? Dorothy shows up, Dorothy leaves. Glinda's the last standing person here, okay? And I believe that all of this is intentional, okay? Here's why. She is a witch. There's no way she doesn't know that the other guy's a fraud. She knows the other guy's a fraud for sure.
Of course.
Okay. She has now manipulated this man into sending Dorothy off to kill the last remaining witch, because fuck that bitch. She knows this guy's going to get found out. He gets to step in. She's cleared the whole board. Okay.
Power-wise. East, west, gone. We know nothing about south, but
she's crushed the whole system. You know what I mean? Like, this guy, I'm assuming this guy was another corner in my mind. You've got four corners. It's this guy, the two witches,
and
you're
thinking the Wizard of Oz is the Wizard of the South.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay, like, just to wrap your mind around that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, that makes sense.
To package it easily, I'm not sure if this is what exactly is happening, but in my mind, that's what's going on, right? So this guy, you've got four corners, you've got four powers, and this woman has manipulated everyone in this movie to destroy everyone else without lifting a fucking finger.
Yeah.
Unreal, girl.
Because clearly there's a power struggle going on.
There is a power struggle. And if you watch her, and I just thought she was smirking through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this girl's manipulated everyone around her. Like, why does that guy, because I know he's a fraud, right? And I guess the concept is that he sent them on a task that he feels is impossible or they can't do because he cannot provide any of the answers that they seek. Okay. He can't give anybody a heart. He can't, whatever, right? In my mind, why is it that specifically? Because we got to take this woman out. Glenda wants this woman out, okay?
Yeah.
I tell you, there's... Now, mind you, I feel a bit like Charlie from It's Always Sunny with all the maps around me. Like, you got to understand, like...
Well, no, but I think if you look at this in any depth at all, you have to agree that there is something that Dorothy has literally dropped into that she is not aware of. Some sort of power struggle, some sort of...
No, there's
politics.
Huge power struggle going on here.
It's Glenda in that immediate moment being like, oh, this is somebody I can use. Because for political reasons or whatnot, I don't think she could have gotten rid of the Wicked Witch of the East. Like there would be some negative association or negative blowback is if Glenda just went and killed the Wicked Witch of the East, right?
Yeah, I also just think she doesn't like getting her hands dirty.
Doesn't like getting her hands dirty. But then all of a sudden, what drops out of the sky for her is a woman who, is not of this land, and can be killed the Wicked Witch of the East. So here is a hero that we have. I'm going to send you, and I don't think she ever intended it to get to the Emerald City, where she goes, I'm going to send you on this long trek where now you are going to be eliminated by the Wicked Witch of the West, therefore giving us us a reason to attack the Wicked Witch of the West. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's even better. I like that better. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And Dorothy's just this pawn.
Mm-hmm. No, I absolutely... She is a pawn. There's no questions. Glenda is very manipulative.
But there's clearly something reigning in the behavior of these witches, because even in Munchkin Land, when the Wicked Witch of the West shows up, the Wicked Witch of the West is like, well, I can't do anything to you here, but I would, and just beware that when I catch you off guard...
Like, yeah, you get all my turf.
Glenda couldn't do anything to her there either.
Oh, true.
Right?
Like, so it's like sort of neutral zone.
It's neutral
something.
Ground or like some treaty or truce, like, you know? And
yeah, I mean, you know what really shook me was if I showed up somewhere, like let's say I show up somewhere, okay, and I accidentally murder a person. Okay, we're not murder. I accidentally kill a person. It's not murder.
Right. Your plane lands on
I accidentally kill a person. If everyone around me starts singing a song, I'm going to assume those are bad people.
I wrote the same thing. I wrote the exact same thing.
Like, they sing a long-ass song. Like, they're super pumped about somebody dying. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a great song, but...
Lollipop Guild?
The Lollipop Guild. But all this to say... if they were like, oh, you've done us a great service, it's a very solemn occasion, then I'd be like, oh, maybe I could get on board, like you killed a tyrant, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
But I don't know if that's ever happened, where somebody kills somebody and it's like, end a song, everybody!
Yeah, we're free! and most damningly, they do that song once Glenda shows up. So it's very performative.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's kind of like, the king is dead, long live the king.
Mm.
Right? Where it goes, Wicked Witch of the East, that was probably her territory. She was probably witch of Munchkin Land.
Yeah.
Right? And for all we know, she's like, yes, I support organized labor. You know what I mean? That's why we have a lollipop guild.
We have a guild.
I invest heavily in infrastructure. Like under my leadership, we have built this yellow brick road, which used to just be a red dirt pathway, and we have built it into a yellow brick road that goes all the way to Emerald City. The East is now connected to the broader economic future of Oz, and you have me to thank for that. Do the Witch of the North do this for you? No, I did. And then all of a sudden, House comes down, kills her flat. Wicked Witch of the North North shows up and is like, hey, Munchkins, isn't it great that the Wicked Witch of the East is dead? And they're like, well, this has been our whole life. We've been fought over by these dueling witches. I guess you're our new leader now. We gotta just do the song.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I can't stop thinking about you saying that they were trying to take She was trying to get Dorothy taken out because she was like the new person with the slippers. And I'm like, that's got to be it.
Yeah.
For sure. Because she's floating in a fucking bubble, dude. She could have taken her.
Could have
taken her. For sure could have taken her. But also, wanted her to get whatever.
If the lesson is it was in you all along, fuck oh. right off.
Oh, when she gave that bullshit at the end, I was like, "There, no, I'm not buying what you're selling, bitch. Yeah. There's no way. What does she? Yeah, like that concept of it's been in you the whole time is so in fucking insane to me.
It's like
because she says because you wouldn't have believed me, and she needed to believe that, like, or she needed to learn it for herself. That is the fakest shit I've ever heard in my life.
You know what that reminded me of? It was like the whole, you heard about a lot about this at like 9/11, where it's like, why did they attack us? And it was like, because they hate our freedom. And you go, that's the most bullshit answer ever. That's not why.
No, that's not why.
And the same is like, why did you send me on this event, like on this horrible trial, this horrible ordeal? If I was able to do it from the beginning, it's like, so you'd learn that it was in you all along. It's like, fuck off. You, do you know what lesson I'm going to learn walking down a road being attacked by a witch?
I haven't learned any lessons if I'm dead.
Yeah. Do you know how many close calls I had? Unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
Come on. This witch almost, the Wicked Witch of the West almost set my scarecrow friend on fire.
Oh, yeah. No, didn't care. Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe. Oh, this is just occurring to me now. Okay. Maybe that was also like a 2-for-1 deal or a 4-for-1 deal where she's like, there's some problem people that we're dealing with along this pathway. There's a scarecrow and a tin man and a cowardly lion that are a real thorn in my side. And I need to.
Oh yeah.
I need to set her on their path, so that the Wicked Witch takes care of all of them as well.
That's so funny. It's such a cute idea. But I'm like, all three of you just needed confidence the whole time. That was it. You all needed the same thing, and it was confidence.
Yeah, you're already pretty brave.
You're all fine. Scarecrow,
you're already pretty
you're
smart.
Speaking, forming full sentences.
Walking.
You have a brain, sir.
You have a brain. Also, he's the one that figures out if you drop the chandelier on the guards, they could run away.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
he's
he's
doing advanced problem solving.
Well, yeah, that was the whole point, right? Is that they're all doing
it's
the
in you all along.
Yeah.
You know what? And here's the other thing. Here's what they should have wished for. Scarecrow. Skeleton. So I can support myself.
Yeah.
That's my main deficiency, is I keep falling
over.
Yeah,
I need bones.
Bones. If I only have some bones. Tin Man, arthritis medication, man. Holy shit, your joints keep rusting up.
Oh, yeah.
Make that man some stainless steel joints.
I identify with the Tin Man so much, though. Why? Every time I stand up, it's like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, same. I get out of bed in the morning and it's just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, literally, I turn 30 next week and I can't wait. I just want to have an excuse for the reason why my body's making this noise.
Every single joint pops on the way up and on the way down. Like I do, I get up on my tippy toes in the morning, neck, spine, hips, everything like that. And then I go into a squat. Everything cracks again. Like it's on the way up and on the way down.
Yeah,
it's
dude, gross. My back is a war zone. Yeah. It's not, it's no bueno. No bueno.
Yeah, that's funny how you identify. You're just like, Tin Man, I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
I feel
dude.
Like I could have just, I need to oil up these joints.
I got
to
get these numbers up because like being 29 isn't, I can't complain. People are like, oh, you're in your 20s. I'm like, I need to be 30 so I can start crying about my body. Because I have the body of a 40-year-old already.
It's going to get there. It's going to get there.
Goddamn. Okay. So, the Wicked Witch.
The Wicked Witch.
This poor woman. A house gets dropped on her sister. She tries to collect the only belongings left. She has, I don't know. She has, I love her henchmen. I love the monkeys.
Yeah,
they're great. They seem to have a good relationship. Nobody sings a song when she dies.
No.
Please note, nobody sings a song when she dies. Like they're not sad.
They immediately switch sides is what they do.
Yes.
Which is exactly what the Munchkins did.
Which is what everybody in this...
It's like, if you want to keep living, you switch sides.
If you are under 4 feet tall, you better grab onto somebody, buddy. It's rough out here.
Yeah.
Nobody... Yeah. Like, this woman, she also... She does this thing that I love where she, like... she Bond villains Dorothy, where she's like, I'm gonna leave you in this room for an hour. Yeah. And we're going to see what happens.
With the hourglass. Because yeah. She says, it's like, I need to kill you to get the shoes off, but it's a delicate procedure, so we have to take our time and be careful, is what she says.
Yeah.
Which is great. And it's like, listen, I asked you not to get involved in this. You are involved now.
You also murdered my sister.
Yeah.
Killed
my sister. Yeah. You've now been sent as an assassin from the wizard. To my house. Sorry, girl. All bets are off in terms of you're a neutral player in this.
To steal her broom also. And that's something I'd like to touch on because I think that's especially evil. To pick the broom, because this is this woman's only means of transportation, okay? Can you imagine? Let's just paint a scenario for a second, all right? Craig, you're having a dispute with your neighbor, okay? You don't like your neighbor. Quite frankly, you hate them, okay? You hate them. You bang on the walls. You just don't like them, right? Your neighbor's sister dies, and your first act is to go steal their car? I don't think that's the move, dude.
I don't think so either.
Nah, man. You can't. Something else. You know what I mean? If you need to get your vengeance, don't take their only means of transportation. That's madness.
No, that's a dick move.
We're in the mourning process.
Insult to injury at this point. And I will point out that the Wicked Witch doesn't start with murder.
Yeah.
So at various points along the way, she kind of shows up and antagonizes Dorothy and very strongly encourages the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Lion not to join or help her.
Yes.
Right? Strongly suggests and threatens to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But then her big move is just like, what can I do to slow these guys down and stop them? I'm going to create poppies that put them to sleep. Not kill them.
Yeah.
Not maim them horribly. Just gently coaxes them to sleep so that they can go be collected by flying monkeys and have the shoes removed. That's her move. Then Glenda's like, I'm going to interfere here. I could have interfered at literally any other point.
I was just about to say that. I'm like, she doesn't do shit at any other moment except for when
snow kills the poppies.
There was no help anywhere else.
No.
And she only, I was like, and that felt like a chess move. You know what I mean? Oh, you're doing that? Well, I'm doing this, bitch.
I'm not ready for this to be over yet.
No, we're still playing, baby. We're still out there playing the game.
Yeah.
Okay, she is, she real bad. Glenda is crazy bad. And yeah, you're right. She doesn't, you know what I find amazing to me is there's no scene where Dorothy's rapidly trying to pull these shoes off of her feet. She doesn't check.
Yeah, or try.
Or at any moment try. The Wicked Witch is like, I'm going to kill you. And at no point does Dorothy be like, well, let's test this theory. Let's try and pull one
Can
of these bad boys
just
off.
Come right off.
Yeah, just slip right off. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny to me that at no point she even tries, even in the face of death, to just pull one of these shoes off. That'd be my first move. I'd be like, I'm not in this fucking war. Fuck this.
Fuck
like,
this. I am
out of
here.
You take these shoes. You take them. I'm out of here. I'm going to start walking this way.
So I think this is maybe a good point to bring this up because I did a little research on this. So it's talking about the snow that kills the poppies.
Okay, yeah.
This movie was hell to make.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So take a guess what that snow was. It was asbestos.
No.
Yeah.
No. They weren't going to say that at all.
It is asbestos snow that they are raining down on those actors.
Oh my God.
Which apparently was a common thing in like even in the 50s, like on holiday decorations, they had like powdered asbestos, which by the way, if you've ever taken any health and safety things, is the worst kind of asbestos. Because it gets in your lungs.
You're blowing my mind right now. I thought you were just going to say like real snow. I'm like, oh, that would have been real tough for sure.
They were raining asbestos down on these poor actors. The other thing was they filmed this in color. This is one of the first real, not the first movie in color, but kind of one of the more popular ones. This would have been the first movie that many people had ever seen in color.
Okay. Yep.
And the Technicolor process, like to do colored film at that point, was so crazy that they needed to extreme light everything. So the set, they lit this so well that the set was around 40 degrees Celsius the whole time.
Dude, I would die. There's no way.
Yes, absolutely.
I can't live in that kind of climate. That's madness.
And they were saying, like, so the lion is wearing real lion fur because there was no fake fur at the time.
No.
Real lion fur. And he would... It was so hot on set that they had a fire patrol going around, making sure that the lights weren't creating hot spots and the thing would burn down to the point where they had to turn lights off and cool the set at certain points. The other actors who weren't as heavily dressed as the lion were literally passing out from the heat, and the lion sweat through his costume every day. They had to put it in an industrial dryer.
Jesus.
And that's the least of it. Dude,
oh my God. If I wore that, they'd have to wring it out.
Oh, they did. That's it. That's it exactly.
You have to wring it out.
The Wicked Witch of the West, where she disappears in smoke, horribly burned.
No.
Yeah, to the point in which they had to take 10 days off. Her hands were burnt. Her face and eyebrows were all burnt off. Where she was off for 10 days. They were hounding her the whole time, being like, when can you come back? She was so badly burned that she couldn't wear makeup on her hands anymore because she still had exposed nerves. So for a lot of the movie, she's actually wearing green gloves.
Oh my God.
The paint, the makeup, the green makeup soaked into her skin, and it was months until she like looked normal again.
Oh, I heard that about the scarecrow too.
Yeah.
Because they had to glue his mesh nose on so hard that like the marks on his nose didn't go away for like a full calendar year.
It caused scars. Yeah.
Yes.
The original. So then the Wicked Witch comes back to work, and there's another scene in which she disappears in fire, refused to do it, and her double for the scene got horribly burnt. So this is like twice they did that. The guy who was originally designed or intended to play the Tin Man, they did a bunch of makeup tests on him, and he was hospitalized for inhaling aluminum powder. And when he couldn't return back from work, they fired him and replaced him with the guy who's in the movie. Isn't that insane?
That's just a literal horror show.
That's a
man.
Short laundry list of
which
all the
really
terrible things.
Which is really funny for how up this movie is.
Yeah, but it makes you like...
The Lollipop Guild doesn't seem as charming.
Yeah, right?
Knowing all of that information. Wow.
And like for sure, so glad that like actors have a union now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's a... Holy shit, what a nightmare to make. Can you imagine that?
Oh, yeah. I read something that said they had Dorothy, the original, like the first director, because I think they went through like five or something. Like there's a bunch of directors. And the first director wanted her to do it like super baby doll. Like they did like huge makeup and like really like cutesy. And then luckily, thank God, the next director came in and was like, fuck that. Like be you, like do you wear the amount of makeup you would normally wear.
Yeah,
like
you're young enough looking.
For sure, dude. Plus, she's gorgeous. You know what I mean? She's a very attractive girl. Like, let her go.
We don't need to infantilize this.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I'm so glad somebody changed. Because when I read that fact, I was like, oh my God, I would probably hate this movie otherwise. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, if it was like a doll face, like
absolutely.
Because,
like, it's weirdly, it's like, it makes them younger, but sexualizes them a bit. It, like, there's a weird line of, like, I don't know what this is.
Yes.
I don't know who
Why
this is.
Why do you have a 16-year-old dressed up as an 8-year-old or something?
8-year-old,
you know?
But there's also, like, too much makeup on their face. I'm like, I don't know what we're trying to do here, and I don't like it.
A bunch of men, and yeah.
No, this would have had a different tone, I think.
Yeah.
I'm glad that whoever switched that up, good for you, dude.
Good for you, yeah.
You made the right fucking call, dude.
Yeah. But pretty, iconic movie. The world of this also has a problem with clearly the structure of it has a problem with putting foreigners in positions of power. You know what I mean? Like the wizard shows up, wizard's in charge. Dorothy shows up, and they're like, "You're the one who killed the witch. You're new." You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's almost like
very strange.
It's almost like an imperialistic kind of. Like outside is better.
Yeah.
We're gonna turn to these people to know how to live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Or I imagine the Wicked Witch of the West is like, Let's talk about self-determination. You know what I mean? Let's throw off our
imperial... The monkeys have a union.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's throw off our imperial overlords. Enough of these people just dropping in from Kansas. Because clearly there's some sort of portal from Kansas specifically to Oz.
Yeah.
Because both Dorothy and the wizard are from there. And let's determine our own future. You know what I mean? Let's have the flying monkeys have a vote in Parliament. Let's...
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the structure is here, but it's very weird. I can't stop thinking about them singing. It's the creepiest thing.
Like Ding Dong the Witch's.
Yes.
Dog. It well, clearly rehearsed.
And clearly rehearsed.
You know what I mean? They had that wagon ready to go.
That's so funny.
They
man.
Know, but like, so it's just like, as I said, the queen is dead. Long live the queen. The witch is dead. Long live the witch. There's just witches fighting over all these lands, trying to establish dominance to the point where you, as a survival mechanism, you need to immediately switch sides. So I guarantee all those munchkins have sung that song about other demised witches before.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're like, this week we're ruled by the Witch of the East. We were ruled by the Witch of the South before this wizard came in and took over that spot. The Witch of the North has been, eyeing us for a long time. Like Munchkinland is a land in flux, and we gotta show fealty to whoever our ruler of the week is. Because I just want to bake my goddamn lollipops. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that all makes sense.
Yeah. They're living in a war zone. It but is like a war weird, zone. Weirdly passive aggressive war zone.
A war zone where a lion is scared. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's the trait of a lion.
You're allowed to be scared.
Yeah.
There's some heinous shit going on that we're not seeing here.
Okay, there's one more thing I really wanted to mention. Did you notice that everybody that lives in Emerald City has a uniform?
Yeah.
It freaks me out.
Everybody city is green and everyone's wearing green.
Everybody's wearing green. That man is running a dictatorship. Okay, yes. There's no way everybody woke up that day on their own volition and was like, okay, school spirit. Like, that's not what's happening here. These people, this man is ruling with an iron fist and he really likes green.
And he's making people wear this and he's restricting who can come into the city, who's allowed into the city. You know what I mean?
Yes.
None of those munchkins allowed in. You know what I mean?
No.
It's we've got a guard. This isn't a free open city for anyone to come into. This is you have to dress this way, you have to be of a certain status. You have to.
And you know what? Honestly, to further your point of like everybody that comes in takes over, they immediately make the three people that just came from the city their king again.
Oh, yeah.
Right? After Dorothy Lee, he's like, okay, well, these new strangers can take care of everything.
Oh, yeah. The wizard puts the scarecrow, yes. A man with no brain, like no heart or courage in charge. Think about that for a second.
Three strangers, they're like, oh, also, that's how good leadership works is three people. That's not going to cause any problems for sure.
No.
That'll be totally fine. Also, he's a fraud and he knows he's a fraud. So why does he think he's allowed to put the next people in charge? You know what I mean? I kind of be like, hey, guys, hold the vote. I'm out. Peace. Yeah.
Democracy.
Like, if anything, if I had tricked these people for so long, I'd probably be yelling at them from the balloon like, tricked y'all.
See you later.
I got no powers. Yippee-ki-yay.
Like, air horn in and out of Oz.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, man.
One thing I did want to ask was, what did you think of the message of this, of like, there's no place like home, there's no place like home? Because it struck me as odd watching this. Obviously, you know, you want to go home.
Yeah.
But there was sort of this odd message where it's like, anytime I want to look for happiness or something, I'm not going to look any further than my own backyard, which is kind of like a stay in your place kind of message. And I wanted to get your read on that. Because like, I think there's something to be said. It's like, appreciate what you have and the people who are at home and love that. But also don't set your sights on anything beyond your small rural existence.
Oh no, I took it more as a like, home is the people.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I do, I can agree with the message, but not... Yeah, I just think, but you have to step back from it a little bit. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, I don't think it's exactly like you have to always return to the place you were born at, or you always have to go back to whatever small house you, or whatever it is, or your mansion or whatever. Right. But I think the concept is that there are people around you that care about you and there's no place like it.
And don't take that for granted.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, yeah, okay. And that I think is the spirit in which it's intended. But it's almost like Dorothy goes off on this magical adventure and then goes, that's it. The outside world is scary.
Yeah.
And I'm going to become this recluse who, you know, never mm-hmm. leaves her hometown. And I'm like, that's kind of sad for Dorothy.
Yes.
Because I feel like Dorothy, as she grows up in the real world, is going to be a person who wants to go on some adventures and have some fun and visit cities and, you know, and not just be... the girl on the farm for the whole her whole life.
Oh yeah, but she's probably fucked now, huh?
Yeah.
After that whole thing, I'm like, I'm not leaving. No. I'm buckling down.
New York is not going to compare to this.
No. Yeah, that's so disappointing afterwards.
She shows up, New York's still in black and white. She's like, come on.
Come on, guys. Get some 40 degree color over here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that does it for me for the Wicked Witch of the West. Time to give us our definitive ranking.
I did a Witches and Wizards scale.
Yeah.
So I've got from Harry Potter to the greatest wizard of all time, Gandalf. I'm gonna give her a Bewitched, man. She is a kitten. She is fine. She is a good witch. I don't care. Argue me. Okay. I think this woman's wonderful and she's going through a really tough time. Okay. And I think we just all need to respect that.
Yeah. Very good. I also have the same scale. we really should check this before we start. But for now, I'm obviously doing the Wicked Witch of the West. So I have the wizard scale as well. So from Merlin to Dumbledore, I'm giving her a solid Gandalf.
Ah!
Because unceremoniously killed trying to do what's best for the land, you know?
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go.
So tweet at us are your different, more creative scales.
Yes, if
we
you could.
Like that. And a couple other ways you can help the podcast. Guys, we are nominated this month, this year, for a record 3 Canadian Podcast Awards.
Yeah!
Best Film and TV, Best Comedy, and People's Choice Award as well, which is actually one that listeners get to vote on. So if you want to help support us, maybe help us win one of those awards, you can head on over to awards.podcamptoronto.com. That's awards.podcamptoronto.com. Search for the People's Choice. You'll be all set.
You guys can also please follow us on Twitter at VWR Podcast. We'll also have a link up for if you're lazy like me and you don't want to type in all that stuff for voting. We'll have a link up on Twitter, our Facebook page, Villain Was Right. Please email us at villainwasright@gmail.com if you have any suggestions, questions, or just general comments. We'll take them. I'll listen to them. I'll read them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can also, we have Patreon. So if you're like, hey, I want some more content, I want to listen to you guys more, I want to vote on things, check us out there at Patreon. And you know what? If you sign up now, you get a backlog of shit. So,
yeah, all of our bonus episodes. Yeah, you get access to those as well. So they're quite a big back catalog if you want to check out some things mm-hmm. where maybe the villain wasn't right, but still a villain that we thought was interesting enough to check out. So
we talk about our favorites.
Yeah, so check that out.
And please, as always, like and subscribe if you can, and leave us a sentence or 2-sentence review.
Helps other people find the podcast.
Yeah, get it done.
We appreciate it. And you guys have been great with that already. So thanks to everyone who's left us a wonderful review. And all right, guys, mm-hmm. it's time for our Heroes and Villains of the Week. I'm up first. Yeah. In the spirit of women being unceremoniously killed.
Jesus Christ.
You'll see how this is relevant in a minute.
Okay.
My villain of the week is the Netflix show You. Which is came out with its second season earlier this month.
Oh, I saw a trailer for that. I was like, that's not for me.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not for me either. And so for those of you who don't know, and slight spoilers here, if you're into the show and haven't caught up, just jump ahead a bit.
Skip ahead.
But I haven't really watched it either. No. But Kat's been really into it. And I've caught a few episodes and a few points and things like that. And there is just, this show is, the protagonist of this show is a man who is stalking a woman and is becoming obsessed with a woman. And Kat was watching the first season a while back, and I was like, there's something off-putting about this that I really do not like.
Mm-hmm.
And she started watching the second season, and I very much became aware that the woman who he was stalking and dating in the first season, he ends up murdering at the end of this first season. And
boy, I mean, that checks out. That makes sense.
Checks out. But I just can't deal with the concept and the conceit of this show. And I've been trying to think about what it is that makes this different than, say, Dexter or Breaking Bad, right? Mm-hmm. Both of which are shows where, I think Dexter is the best comparison, where you've got a protagonist who is a serial killer and is killing people, and the police are trying to stop him. That's Dexter. And yeah. I enjoyed Dexter
until they got to the...
Yeah, I mean...
All know where I dropped off.
The quality of the show notwithstanding. Yeah. But I was like, why was I okay with that concept and not okay with following that? And I think it comes down to the fact that in Dexter or Breaking Bad, it's a cat and mouse game. And what those characters are doing is they're trying to avoid capture in order to kill somebody who probably deserves it, right? Mm-hmm. Dexter's code of honor was he only kills other killers.
Yes.
Right? So there's that kind of, any action that they're taking is to ultimately get to that point or to cover up, and any complication that they have to deal with the police and stuff like that isn't terrible, right? Because it's professionals almost working together.
Well, yeah, but there's got to be a code or a guideline to follow so that at least we understand that this character has a baseline of morality.
And this is bad. And a great part of Dexter was trying to figure out how does he keep his code even though he's a man who would just kill somebody for convenience anyway. But I think what bothers me about you is that the problems that this guy is coming into and the conflicts that he's having are the people are just women who are trying to protect their best friend. Or,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Like everybody he comes up against is working in the best interest and is the person that you would root for.
Mm-hmm.
And his ultimate goal is inherently bad. And I know that a point back would be like, well, that's the point of the show is like, he is not a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows him and it shows how easy it is for that guy to exist or like go undetected or be in your life. And I can get that, but just even the conceit of the show rubs me the wrong way. And it's like, it's just sickening and weird to me in this little way where the protagonist of the story, even in the second season, is a man who has killed a woman that he was in a relationship with. Really grosses me out.
Yeah.
And I
don't think I'm going to watch it, Craig.
No, I'm not going to watch it either. But it's been bugging me enough that I brought it as my villain of the week.
It's
been on my mind. And what makes it different than other shows similar to it? And I think that's what I just said is the reason. So how about, what do you got?
mine's a lot lighter. Mine's just, I've got two heroes and they're both my grandmothers.
Ah, great.
Just honestly watching this movie just kind of like transported me back into a time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're immediately transported. And I couldn't stop thinking about both of my grandmothers. They've both since passed away, since I watched it. No, like they've, you know, but they were both, sometimes we forget how fucking crazy shit used to be. You know what I mean? Like my one grandmother had 11 kids and my other grandmother had 8. Sweet Jesus. That alone, like that's fucking crazy, dude. There's no planet where I'm pumping 8 people out of my body. You're a warrior. You know what I mean? You're a warrior princess. You're amazing. And like both, especially my one grandmother, She didn't ever go to work. Well, obviously, like she worked on a farm. You know what I mean? So my grandmother worked on a farm her whole life. Okay. Pumped out 8 kids. Was absolutely brilliant. Like, I know this isn't a barometer for how smart somebody is, but she loved Wheel of Fortune, and she would be able to, with not even like they just started the puzzle. You know what I mean? She could walk through a room, answer it, and then just keep walking and not even like break stride. You're like, what the fuck is going on? She was just the coolest woman I think I've ever met. She would, I don't know, she's one of these, like, she would make strawberry jam, we're making pickles, we're all from the farm, you know what I mean? And, like, my whole family talks about the lore of one time, my grandparents used to host Thanksgiving. I wasn't present for this, but this is, like, the family story, right? That my grandmother cooks this huge, great cook, right? Cooks this huge turkey, huge dinner for the whole family. Like, you know what I mean? Like, again, everybody's here. It's huge. She slices her finger open, carving the turkey, right? Like big time, really cuts it. But, you know, bandages it up, whatever. Everybody's like, oh, we should take you to the hospital or something. She's like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. She goes, I'm fine through the whole meal, right? Serves everybody, desserts done, drinks are done. And then she looks at everybody and she goes, okay, I think I can go to the hospital now. She had ripped her finger open. So she had several stitches. Like, it was a huge deal, but she wanted everybody to enjoy the meal so badly that she just sat there and waited for them all to finish. And then as soon as it was done, she's like, okay, time to go.
One of you maybe don't have wine tonight.
Yeah, and that is the coolest woman ever. She's my hero. Both of my grandmothers are my heroes. But you know what? That's just the dopeness you don't see anymore, and I really appreciate it.
I love it.
So where, I guess that's it. Where can people follow you, Craig?
Yeah, you can grab me, Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, craigfaye.com for show dates.
And you can follow me at Rebecca Reads at anything of your choosing. If you want to see me at shows in Toronto or anywhere else for that matter, just, follow me on Instagram at Rebecca Reads. That's REEDS. Guys, next week we're going to be we haven't done this in a really long time and I'm really excited for it, but we're going to tackle some TV again. Which we haven't done since The Office.
Yeah. It's been a while.
And we're doing How I Met Your Mother, which I think is a good compliment to The Office.
Yep.
So check out that episode next week for How I Met Your Mother. Until then, this is us from The Villain Was Right, reminding you that pretty people can be ugly on the inside.
The Villain Was Right was produced by Andrew Ivamy for the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as YouTube series, webcomics, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.